Blog Talk Radio.
Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see so gallantly, yeah.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let us rejoice and rise high. Turn in the time, loud as the sea.
Radio Network, and we are on the air. Coffee Tea in the Conversation with Dorothy Tillman, featuring Dr. Claude Anderson.
All our lives to the magic colors, red, blue, and pilgrim to survive for the redneck. Magic God, not a bad blue and white.
the wall and working with someone else.
Say it loud, say it loud. Hey. Say it loud. Ooh, I feel like listening to that all morning. Good morning. I got to find out who my engineer is. Tell me your name, engineer. What's your name?
Mike Jones.
I got Mike Jones here this morning. Courtney on vacation. Ebony gone to the Super Bowl. So I got my son, Bimaji. You know the one that one of my theme songs, the one that be playing that. So I got Mr. Bimaji here, fresh back from California, out there hanging out with the stars and stuff. I got him in. Got my son here today. I'm going to interview him one day about music and black people. Okay, open those lines up, Mike. All right. I tell you, good morning, good morning, good morning. Don't tell me about young folks. I got two handsome young black men in the studio. I got two handsome young black men in the studio, Mike and Bimaji. And I think he said his brother in there. Tell me about black men, y'all. I got them up here in the studio at VON. Good to see them. They look clean, too. Look at them. Skin clean, eyes clear. That means they've been eating right and got some good rest. Good morning, y'all. How y'all doing this morning? It's so good to be here on our second day of Black History, but a whole lot of other things, too. Tired of beating our heads up against the wall and working for someone else. And I thought I would kick off my February month with Dr. Claude Anderson, and we're looking forward to. I don't know whether Ebony or Bimaji listen, because I wanted to put a link. Maybe Bimaji will call Ebony to make sure we put a link to Dr. Anderson's site, so that you can be able to do that. I tell you, I'm winging it this morning, but we're going to do the best we can. And if I don't give you the link this morning, I will give it to you next week, but Ebony is back, and see what we're going to do here. So Dr. Anderson is going to come on, and we're going to talk about some things relating to the black community. And you know Dr. Anderson wrote Dirty Little Secret. He wrote Powernomics. He also wrote American Dirty Little Secret, you know, the whole thing about slavery and stuff. So we're going to enjoy having him on. So you wake up everybody and tell him at 6:45 or 6:50, I'm going to have him on. He'll go over into the 7 o'clock hour so that you can tell everybody that Dr. Anderson will be on. A lot of things have happened in the community this week. Of course, the young lady Pendleton who was murdered, you know, she spent a lot of time at Harold Washington Theater, too. So, you know, King Van do a lot with us at our theater. They have performed a lot at our theater and have done a lot. So Jim Lita been in touch with her mother. I'm so sorry. They had wanted to have something at the Harold Washington, but the date that they wanted it, something was going on, and we're going to do something. But we give our spirit to them, and I might play when I come back a record in behalf of Have You Ever Lost a Friend? I might play that by Charles Bevel and dedicate it to the family. So our spirit to them. And to all the other ones who have been murdered. But, you know, I take a different take on this. Anybody see the Image Award last night? Belafonte wiped them out. He called them to order. He told them about moral consciousness and fighting for black people and not being frightened. And Cynthia Portia introduced him. And when Cynthia Portia introduced him, you know, when I first met Cynthia Portia, it was in the 60s, 66, maybe 65. That's when Belafonte, Nipsey Russell, Mary McKeeble, and all came to the civil rights movement. Well, Belafonte was already with Dr. King, but they brought them here. We had this big thing at the McCormick Place, the old McCormick Place before it burned down, and we were getting ready to raise funds for South Africa. You know, I was studying to go over there because we were fighting to get rid of Smith and to get liberation for South Africa. That's why Mary McKeeble was involved. And, in fact, my middle daughter's name is Jamil McKeeble. I named her after Mary McKeeble. I gave her middle name. But so that's when I first met Cindy Portier, where I got a chance to talk to him and Nipsey. And I watched Harry Belafonte bring all of those blacks to support Dr. King and to support our movement. It was such a breath of fresh air to have Belafonte to talk last night and just to lay it out. And also this Kerry Washington got a real black consciousness. I love that sister. If we get enough artists that got those kind of consciousness, things in their mind, because the artist is supposed to tell the story. However, the music is how the people act. If the music is about shooting and B's and H's and W's, that's how the people act. If the music is about get on the freedom train and let's do this and let's do that, that's how the people act. So, and when the artists are telling the story, and so Belafonte challenged them, and he said they have so much yet give so little back to the community. And he talked about the blood in the streets, black blood flowing while they're sitting on their butts. In essence, that's what he said. And he talked about the prison industrial complex of our children being in jail and how dare them to be able to sit and be comfortable. And it was so interesting because then Jamie Foxx got up. He said, I had a big old speech written out, but I'm not going to say this speech now because Belafonte had put something on my mind. He told Belafonte, I'm going to try and do what you said. So it was really good. Anybody saw the Image Award, call and let me know. We can talk about that before I get Dr. Anderson on. It was just such a breath, you know, and just to know Belafonte, he's coming to Father Flager's church too, I think, this month. But to know Belafonte and know what role he played in the civil rights movement, and to have him there and to have he and Cindy Poitier to embrace, that's that next generation of teaching what you need to do. It was just something with me because, you know, Belafonte was one of the ones who had the insurance on Dr. King. Because Dr. King was like Jesus, never asked, what shall we eat, what shall we sleep? Let's just do God's work. And as we do God's work, we're going to be taken care of. And I want to tell you, one of the things is we were taken care of. Wherever we went in this country, people gave us places to live. We had doctors. We had a whole group of doctors. And one day, I'm going to talk about those doctors, Dr. Jones and Dr. Moran, Rudolph Moraney, and all of those doctors who gave their time to SCLC staff. That's how I met Dr. Moraney, because he was one of the doctors for the women in the civil rights movement. He and Jones was young, and that's probably how he ended up delivering all them babies. He delivered my babies and Jackie's babies, but he was really something. So, you know, when you think about all of that, don't worry about what we should eat and where shall we go. Just go on and do God's work. So he wasn't thinking about no insurance. I mean, you think about liberating black people, because Dr. King certainly was the Christ. And Belafonte took an insurance policy on Dr. King. When Dr. King was murdered, he gave that insurance policy to Coretta and those kids. Thank you, Belafonte, for having your consciousness. And that's, I mean, such a good way to start this. In terms of the young lady who was murdered, you know, I might take a different take than most of my colleagues on the station, because as we cannot be singular in our discussion of the black community. We cannot just be talking about kill, kill, kill. There's more going on in our community than killing. No other community is being that singular. We got to talk about jobs and education, the mental health of our community. I mean, have we failed daily being in charge of those schools? And black schools are the worst schools it is in this city, separate and unequal. I got my tax bill the other day. My tax bill is so heavy, it went up about $1,000 on my house because, or more. That's $1,000 this installment. So it's maybe, you know, we do two installments. And I look at all the city colleges, the Board of Education, the Park District, Water Reclamation, the TIF, Tax Increment Finance, all of those taxing bodies coming from the black community. But we get no, we don't get no equality. Our schools, they can get in the mail. Emmanuel, I know you're listening. Or somebody's listening from your camp. You can get on TV and point your finger all you want about, well, they ain't raised right. It must be this. We got to look at what's going on in these schools, how a child can go through school for 9 years and don't even know how to do nothing. It's all holistic. And all the killings, a lot of it's happening in our community. But you got, if you look at it and you pull it down off the web, you'll see, I mean, Hispanic be killing each other 3 and 4 and 5 times. You got other folks killing too. But what happened is they don't spotlight it every day. And they don't just focus on that. And then they show us in a negative light, like we can't do nothing, like all of our young men, thugs and stuff, our community is no good. But at the same time, the other communities, they show them vibrant and doing, or, oh, they sick, they need some mental health. When they get rid of Carl Bell Place, they got rid of Carl Bell. So that's a whole thing. And then I heard one of my colleagues, and I started to call him, but I'm going to have a discussion with him. And what I'm going to do, y'all, so y'all can know, the video that I produced to get the reparation passed in the city council, I'm going to get Bemidji to go over to our studio at the theater and to break it down so I can put it on YouTube so y'all can really see that video. And I'm going to present Matt one, because I heard Matt say one day, the president got to look at no reparation, but Mama D called in and handled that. Thank you, Mama D. So So we just got to look at our community from a different perspective. We can't look at it like, oh, we're just killing up each other. We're not doing anything. It's a shame. Yes, it is a shame whenever we have killing. It's terrible. It's a shame when y'all see a baby in a mama's stomach and you condemn that baby before it's born. It's a shame at how our community is, but we're going to be all right. And that's why I was on, anybody might have listened to Bev Smith's show on Monday. We had a good time. We're going to have this conference in Philadelphia in August. And black women's going to come from everywhere. And we're going to call the community to order. So I'm a little excited about being here because I'm excited to have Dr. Claude Anderson, who's coming on. And I want to talk to you, but our community is more than just killing. It's singular, y'all. It's singular. We're not a singular community. Communities are dealing with everything in their community. They're saying, we want jobs. We want new schools. We want science. We want math. We want this. We want that. They're dealing with that. We just own every day, every evening. And we get this culture, this energy, kill, you know, it's crazy. So what I want y'all to do, y'all, we're going to have a good time here this morning. I'm going to try to empty the board before I get Dr. Anderson on. But you listen to Talk of Chicago 69. This is Dorothy Tillman, Coffee Tea, and a conversation with me at the Talk of Chicago 69 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're on Blog Talk, y'all. You can always pick me back up on Blog Talk. I mean, week before last, I had about 300 people in the chat room, y'all. I don't know whether Vimmy's going to be able to chat with y'all today. Ebony is gone to the Super Bowl, y'all. She's probably in Mississippi right now. She flew to Mississippi and driving on to New Orleans. And we're also on blackplanet.com. We're on iHeart. We're on Twitter, Facebook. Well, you know my Facebook is all really crowded. So we're on group Facebook, too. So what I want you to do is get your coffee. Get your tea. Call a friend. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman. I want you to come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
WVON.com.
Superman was killed in Dallas. There's no love left in the palace. Someone took the Beatles' lead guitar.
Have another Chevy's Regal. You're 12 years old and sex is legal. Your parents don't know where or who you are. Used to be the hero of the ball game. Took the time to shake the loser's hand. Used to be that failure only meant you didn't try. In a world where people gave again. Great big wars in little places. Look at all those frightened faces. But don't come here, we just don't have the room.
Love thy neighbor's wife and daughter. Cleanse your life with holy water. We don't need to bathe. We've got a few.
Used to be a light and shining father.
Didn't have to own a shiny car.
Dignity and courage were the measure of a man. Lots of drugs he needs to hide the scars. Whoa, 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 whoa. Can you teach your read? Don't you preach your pray? Don't your presidents have songs? Have you heard a real good ethnic joke today?
Mama took her
can save tomorrow.
Ooh, I believe the truth can make us free. Someone tried to say it, and we nailed him to a cross. I guess it's still the way it used to be.
Doing this for ourselves, y'all. I am sorry. I am so hurt what happened to Pendleton. And not only Pendleton, the ones you don't even know, all the stuff that's going on. And it's terrible. We got to do something about it, but we got to look at this from a holistic approach. We don't, you know, we give these folks an opportunity to come in like a stopper all of our community. The drugs come from Mexico and all the other places. Stop the drugs at the border. Dr. Anderson is going to be talking about the guns, telling you turning your guns. And they in line getting the bullets, getting their guns. Though I ain't turning, I'm not telling nobody turning their guns. I'm not turning mine. I'm turning no darn guns. The illegal folks going to get guns anyway. Stop the drugs, stop the other stuff. And I'm telling you other things. A lot of those shootings, they're doing it so they can start doing their type of rapping they did in L.A. and the one they did in New York. So we just got to give our children alternatives. Black women, we still doing the conference. In August in Philadelphia, thousands of black women are going to come together, and we're going to lay out a program to call our community to order and to save our young men and our children. I mean, oh, Lord, they shooting. They done killed another one, yeah, and it's wrong. And we got to do something about it. I mean, they shoot 3 and 4 over in the Hispanic community. They keep on moving. They keep on getting resources. They keep on building new schools. They're getting your tax dollars to build businesses. They're looking out for their children. When their young men come out of jail, they go put them to poke off and building their businesses and stuff. And our children are right now taking care of the prison industrial complex while we sitting around. And it comes from slavery. That's why the whole question of slavery has got to be dealt with. There's an illness that has let somebody else handle it and be so hard and be so bad on ourselves. Slavery has to be dealt with. They're trying to whitewash slavery like it doesn't matter, like what happened to us. And everything that we fought for, everybody's enjoying it but us. The anchor baby, if you're born in America, you're a citizen. Why did that come about? Because of slavery. They were trying to figure out what to do with the slaves. And they said, well, if one is born, They're going to be an American. It's just a lot of stuff. Dr. Anderson's going to talk about when he come on. All of the other stuff. You hear nobody when they're talking about black folks. They just talk about themselves. We cannot talk about ourselves without talking about somebody else because we're scared. Cowards always have to have somebody around them to make sure that they don't get in any trouble. Everybody's fighting. Everybody's doing stuff. And we're going to talk about it when Dr. Anderson comes. We put our president back in. If black people in Ohio, Philadelphia, Wisconsin, and all the major cities had not gone out and voted, he would have lost the Electoral College. And all the other groups said, we put you in, but if you look at the numbers, blacks outdid all of them. And nobody's saying what we did and what we need. So we got to do this, y'all. I'm excited because I know our community is going to come back together. Someone called me the other night and said, Dorothy, why you feel like we're going to be all right? I said, when you see nothing and made something out of it, you know we can make something. So I have faith, and I'm going to go to this phone, and we're going to talk for a few minutes, and then I'm going to play something and dedicate it to the Pendleton family, and I'm going to get Dr. Anderson on the phone. We're going to get on into this, y'all. You'll listen to Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, at the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We are on Twitter, Facebook, group Facebook, and we're also on Blog Talk, y'all. So keep listening. And my Blog Talk Radio, Evan is not here, so y'all can call in and type whatever you want to, but I don't think. My son Bimiji is filling in for, and Evan is going to the Super Bowl, and I got Michael that's filling in for Courtney. So I'm going to go to the phone, Mike. I'm not going to take a break. I'm coming to the phone. I'm coming to James. How you doing, my brother?
You sound foolish. Make excuse for these black
folks. I don't sound no foolish. What you doing? Don't have to have the mic. Don't have to have the mic. Tell me sounding foolish. Coward. Don't hide behind the mic. Ain't nothing foolish. I think it's wrong for us to be doing what we're doing. I'm saying we can't just talk about the whole, we can't just talk about the violence. We got to look at this thing from a holistic perspective and know what we got to do in terms of jobs and the schools and stuff, the stuff that's breeding this. That's what I'm talking about, James. I'm not trying to, hello, Bishop.
Hey, Dorothy. I can't believe that last call. I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. But, Dorothy, you're on top of it. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to submit a letter to Melanie Spann. I'm no longer in Chicago. I'm in Atlanta. But I'm going to tell you something, and I like the fact that you addressed one of your colleagues, and I'm not going to say the name because I don't want it to be unprofessional like a bad thing.
He
like
said we don't need reparation. I don't think he understands.
Oh, my God. And not only that, he interviewed Father Flager, and I'm going to try to say this as respectfully as I can. He interviewed Father Flager, I believe it was yesterday, a white car. You know, he was on there, well, that talk show host talking about, yeah, stop and frisk. He was sounding like a infomercial for the right wing as well as the, see, I'm going to tell you what I found out is the difference, Dorothy. People like yourself that been with Dr. King, ain't talking about people just talking about it, talking about they've been ordained, lying. But people like you, who we all know, had a palpable role in the King movement and learned one of the students of it, literally, not like myself who'd hear about it. You come from an outside perspective. Some of these people don't mean no harm. I don't even think Matt mean no harm. He just haven't grasped it. We all upset. Like,
well,
we all
like, when you
outraged
don't know
about the little girl getting killed. I mean, that hurts all of us.
Well,
but
wait,
you
wait,
gotta
wait,
look
wait,
at
bitch.
The,
I'm hurt because I knew Pendleton. And I'm
absolutely
sure about some punk gonna be doing this to her.
But
I'm
you know what,
Dorothy?
I don't
know we
got to
deal with
killings.
It. All this killing is not us. There's some of them, somebody's coming and killing our people. And that's why we're
absolutely
not able to solve them.
But let me just say the last point I'm going to get on, but I just want to make this point. There has to be more objective thinking. I think if we blow this, if the Dorothy Tillmans and others who learned from great people like Dr. King and others don't get more airtime on this historic station celebrating 50 years, if there's no balance, that's going to be a wasted opportunity. Years from now, we're going to be like, dang, we should have heard more of that. Because I think when people, and I'm going to tell you, let me go back to Father Flager for a minute, Dorothy. Father Flager was speaking, you know, about this crime, how bad it is. A white caller called in and saying animals they this. And so it took Father Flager to have to address that and balance and say, wait a minute, you can't put no blanket
but
on
it. But you know what? Flager been one of the few been willing to stand up and fight back. He been one of the few to talk.
But Dorothy, you deserve a lot of credit because you stand in the corner like it is. And that's,
thank you.
And you know what? I hope Melody and others recognize it because that's needed. And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't think this killing is being done by all black people. If you remember COINTELPRO and you was back there in the movement. J. Edgar Hoover was right, and we think of he died and stopped. J. Edgar Hoover was writing letters to the Black Panthers and to Jeff Ford, Black Peace Don't Nation.
Oh, yeah, let me say this. Let me say this.
Literally using a letterhead, Dorothy, but I'm going to let you go. I'm
let me
say
this. My board's lit up. Yes, all I right. know what J. Edgar Hoover did. J. Edgar Hoover also said, don't let the young folks, they said the Dr. King movement was done by young people, and that we are not going to allow ever again young people to mobilize. And they moved, and they put Jeff Ford and all of them in jail. Now, when I got here with Dr. King, I was one of the people working with the gangs. And we took the gangs, and they marched with Dr. King, and we tried to put some fat. They allowed the white
people. And see, Dorothy, you was with them for real. People need to stop lying about they've been ordained. If Dr. King ordained somebody, that somebody would be able to vouch for her picture or something. Maybe be
I got to go, Bishop.
All right,
Dr. King did ordain Reverend Sampson. No, he did ordain Reverend Sampson. Let me say Dr. King did so ordain Reverend Sampson. Now, I can't say he didn't. So let me just, let me see who this is. Ludi.
Ludi, hey, Dorothy.
Give me some sanity, my sister.
Hello.
How you doing?
This is Ludi.
I said, hey, Ludi, give me some sanity.
Yeah, I saw that Image Awards, NAACP Image Awards, and you're right. That was a different kind of vibe in that room.
How you like this girl, Kerry Washington? She's great, isn't she?
Oh, I love Kerry Washington. She is all right by me. That speech she gave was terrific.
It was. What about
Bella Fine? She was just about Bella Fine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, you know, he's a guy. I've been way back when. I followed Bella Fine.
Uh-huh.
He's been the man. And even Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah.
When he closed with that song, that just about did it. That sort of summed it up, you know.
Yeah, he said. And he said,
when he closed with that song about you can't, you know, persevere. That gospel, you can't persevere over. I don't care what you do. You can try as hard as you want. And you know who I also liked who seems to exemplify the feel of the young people, especially the really young?
Common.
This little girl. Common, I'm this little girl. What's her name? Quincy.
Oh, yeah, she was so beautiful. She represented everything.
She had that look on her face that I'm not taking nothing. She had a strong, I mean, they coming out looking strong.
Let me tell you something, Ludi. Those are the kind of imagery. That's why I say imagery is everything. Those are the kind of things that I grew up with and other women men and women who were strong in the civil rights movement. This little girl, this had a profound effect on her yesterday, and that's why it's called the Image Award. What are we going to do for our people? It's called image, and that's why we got to have more than just killing. We got to have a holistic approach to
it's
this.
It's imaging that's being portrayed of us all over the media. That's all they do is, more killings, things that are just, it's just a terrible thing, and it's just, something's going to happen.
We're going to be all right. You're going to try to keep your eyes open for the women's conference we got coming.
Oh, I will. I'm going to try and make that conference.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to have Belle back on again. We're going to talk about it. Thank you, Ludi.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Image is everything. When I saw that little girl, how happy she was to be there. Ms. Huntington, how you doing?
Good morning, all of them.
Good morning.
I was one who saw the Image Awards. I heard on Thursday that Mr. Harvey was going to host it. I said, let me look at this to see just what it's going to be. However, Mr. Harvey started out with a piece that shows what we as black people need to do since we are standing on the backs of our forefathers. And then the little young lady who came up and Miss Kerry Washington that I didn't know anything about, I was so impressed.
Oh, I watched Kerry. I tape it when I'm not in.
I did not know anything about her, but then to see my great brother
Belafonte
Poirier first, and Harry Belafonte come out. I saw him last year at Father Flagler's church. Harry Belafonte is the Prince of Peace at this time.
Thank you.
And then for Jamie Foxx, I got a lot of respect for him when I saw him in Janko. But for him to come out with "No Weapons Formed Against Me Shall Prosper" and singing that just took the cake.
Well,
I rededicate myself to help we the people, black America.
You know, that's imagery. Now, you know, Belafonte dealt with the killing in our community.
Yes.
But he didn't just deal with the killing. He gave a holistic approach. But if our people just keep saying killing, 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 nothing else, that's the image. And other folks say, how do you raise your children? How in the world are you to point your fingers at what kind of values we have? What kind of values do a country have that came and enslaved people and keep putting our young men in jail? Thank you, Ms. Hunter.
Yeah, but when we have forced immigration and no good educational boundaries for them and no other things to balance out what we need, employment and all of that, good housing and so on, we cannot do anything.
Thank you so much, Ms. Hunter.
Thank you.
And thank you. I mean, I tell you, it was something. Rick from the South Side.
Hey, Dorothy.
Hey, how was it?
I sit around listening to this station all week with these hoes, and all they screaming about is the killing. Yeah, it is a lot of killing. But see, a lot of people don't even know how to attack these issues right. They don't even, a lot of them won't even come out their doors and talk to a young person, pull a young person to the side, and try to see what's up with them or nothing. You know what I'm saying?
I heard somebody say y'all don't go in their house. Some of them ain't got no place to go.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you what they don't have. When a black, you talking about come out of the shadow. This country is doing something to get everybody out of the shadow. But here's a black person. They go to jail. They come out. And maybe trumped up charges. Maybe it's real. But they come out, and they can't get any of the benefits. They want to pull their family back together. They can't get no subsidized housing. Nothing is available to them. But yet we'll take my tax dollars and give them to folks who haven't put nothing in. This doesn't make no sense to me. I said bring black folks out of the shadow.
Yeah, but a lot of times our own people, like what you're doing, like the older people start talking to young and start being scared and start working with each other, our community will be better.
Well,
but see, all we do is holler and talk and want
to
die.
Well, we're going to pull this together because black women coming together in July to call this country to order. And I want to give a shout-out to all my brothers on the west side. You got some of them brothers who take them little young brothers, and they make them sit out there and listen to me. And I know I try to work with these young folks, and I love them. And we got to do what we can do to save them. Once we can,
yeah,
we do something
else.
That's
one thing I like about you.
Thank you so
you
much.
Know?
Thank
all
you.
Right.
I'm going to play this song for the Pillington family and for our family. You know, when you lose somebody, it hurts. When you lose them, it hurts. But in the meantime, we got to do like Belafonte did last night. We got to look at it from a holistic point of view. We got to be able to say, you know, this is what's going on, and this is what we need to do. Have you ever lost a friend? Have you ever lost a friend? And this is dedicated to the Pillingtons and to King Center. Have you ever lost a friend? Are we ready? Number 8. Okay, should I take another call? Okay. I got my engineer, but I got a is the song ready over there, Mike? Have you ever keep talking? Okay, Mike told me to keep talking. He's sitting in for let me go over here. Sister Sakia. It's number 8, Mike.
Good morning, my sister. How are you?
I'm fine. It's all right.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air. Mike is over in the thing. Yeah. Okay. I'm listening to
well, you. Listen, I did watch the Image Award, and it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me just say.
Oh, by the way, Sakia, I did go see, I did have a chance to see Jenga. It wasn't a bad movie.
No.
You told
no.
me to go, okay.
It wasn't a bad movie. It wasn't nothing you would like, but the end is what I liked most of all, and it was factual.
Okay.
All kinds of stuff happened.
Okay.
But to get to my point, Mrs. Hollington really stole my thunder because if you remember, it was Steve Harvey that set the tone.
Oh, yeah.
When he came out and just to paraphrase and said, now look, just because we sitting up in here in these tucks now, we going to love on each other tonight. This is our night. We going to love.
Oh, yeah, it was good. It was good.
Remember how he came out like that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's the high point for me.
Yeah, I need to put you on hold so I can play this song because I got to go into a break.
Okay, that's all right.
Put Sakia on hold, y'all. This is for the put on hold for me, please. Sakia, put on hold for me. Okay. Okay. Now, this is for the Pillington family and all those folks who have lost loved ones, all the stuff that's going on. Don't let them kill our spirit. We got to look on for the babies and make sure we do. Have you ever lost a friend? Charles Bevel, y'all. We got to be holistic like we was with Belafonte. He was holistic. We can't just deal with one thing. It's kind of a...
This is not a song of love.
Okay. All right, Charles
Bell. Jingle bells and turtle doves.
Have you ever lost a friend?
And can't
she was a friend to a lot of folks, the king. This is to all the children, the king, and the mothers, the king, and all our babies that's been shot down. But we're going to be all right, y'all. We're going to do something about it. We're going to be proactive like these other communities. They don't be begging and all that. We've got to be proactive.
Hey!
Let me wrap up with Zakiya real quick, and I want to talk to Dr. Anderson before the break. Zakiya, hurry up so I can talk to Dr. Anderson.
I wanted to say that my condolences go out to the family of little Hadil Pennington.
Yes.
And all the other grieving families that lost loved ones to gun violence. Now, I was going to say the height for me when Harry Belafonte was speaking. He told the audience, if you remember that, we're going to have to take a radical approach to bring about change.
Oh,
he also told Ben Jealous, that, who's over NAACP, the president, he told him that on the talk show, panel show, last year, a radical approach.
Well, he comes
you
the
can't
movement.
Be scared, as you say.
No, can't be scared. Because when you're in the movement, he saw change. I really appreciate that, brother. Well, Zakiya, I'm going to have Dr. Anderson on. I'm going to try to talk to him 5 minutes before I go
well,
to break.
Listen. Alderman, let me just say this quickly.
Quick,
if you remember, it was Sidney Poitier's sister and husband who hid our brother Malcolm X when he was on the run.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Our movement.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, our entertainers had a different mission, and they laid it out last. Thank you, Zakiya. I got Brother Anderson coming up now. I want to talk to
him. I can't wait to hear from him.
Is he on the phone, Bimaji? I want to talk to him before I go on the break. Is Dr. Anderson on the line, Bimaji? Is he on? Okay, get him on. I'll try to take one more call before we go in. On the
microphone now.
He on? Okay, put it back on. Put this call back on hold. I don't see Dr. Anderson locked in. Is Dr. Anderson locked in? Okay, y'all got to bear with me. Put this back on hold. Put number two back on hold for me, engineer. Yeah, y'all bear with me. My engineer is out of. Is Dr. Anderson? Okay, it looks like I'm not gonna get Dr. Anderson before I go into the break because Bimaji ain't got him locked in. I guess I'll get him. I'll get him after the break. Where is he? Because the bottom line, he's not on the bottom line. He should be on that bottom line. I don't know where he is. So I got two new people over here, y'all. I don't have my hello, Brother Strong, how you doing?
Yeah, we're doing have a black history.
Okay. Lock Dr. Anderson in. Lock him in. You know how to lock. Okay, Dr. Anderson, how you doing this morning?
Fine. How you doing, my friend?
I tell you, I'm doing just fine. I saw the Image Award last night. It sure was good to hear what Bella Funny said.
Well, Bella Funny is a good black man, very conscious black man, a very committed black man. So I guess I didn't see it, but I'm sure you said something that was very positive.
He laid it out about their moral responsibility and all the stuff we got to do and how they got to bring these resources back. I mean, I thought that's why I didn't call you back last night. I got caught up in that. I was just so happy to hear them say all that. I'm so glad to have you. Let me just, I said, Dr. Anderson, you're going to kick off my Black History Month, and I wanted to get you on like a few minutes before I went on break because I wanted them to go wake up their friends and tell them, this is Black History Month. There's nobody greater than you. Dirty little secret. I mean, you know, you done just black label, white wealth, powernomics, all of the things that you have done to try to tell black people. 20 years ago, you told me, Dorothy, if we don't have it together by 2013, we're going to be a fourth-class citizen. They're going to step all on us. And, hey, must be a prophet, Dr. Anderson.
Well, it's here now, so it's all over but the singing and dancing and crying now.
We ain't going to say it's all over.
You're a permanent underclass now. The door is slammed shut. You got a very small opportunity to be able to get out now, very small.
Okay.
I hate to sound that up, that negative, but that's the truth.
But it's small. At least we got a way. We can see a little ray of something we got to do here.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. But anyway, whenever you want to talk about today, let me know.
This day is open for you because it's Black History Month. We're going to talk about the different parts of what's going on and where we are. I was very happy that the governor of Massachusetts appointed a black man senator.
Mm-hmm.
I messed around and Dr.
Hello, Anderson, this is James. I'm not able to come
back
to the
at the
phone
top
right
of
now.
Hour, and we're going to talk to you from 7 to 8, by 7:05 to 8, because my engineer is telling me I got to take a break
So
I'm going to call you right back. I'm gonna, hold on until I come in there. I'm going to talk to you. So you listen.
Oh, you want me to hang up
now?
No,
hold on for right now, Dr. Anderson.
Okay.
Just hold on. Listen to Talk of Chicago 69 WVON. This is Coffee's Tea in a Conversation with me. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon. We also on our heart. Get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back. I'll be right back and talk to me.
For example, we need to lower the cost of health care and programs like Medicare that are the biggest drivers of our deficit.
In the Republican address, Representative Susan Brooks of Indiana says Democrats must get serious about what the nation's spending.
By forcing Senate Democrats to finally live up to one of the most basic responsibilities.
Now, Harriet Tubman was born a slave. She was a tiny black woman, but she was raised. She was given to be given. There's a lot that she gave. She's not a slave. And she's saying,
believe I ain't feeling no hate. We're in a tight position in any condition. Don't get in my way, cause I'm full of ambition. I'm proud to be black, and I ain't taking no crap. I'm fresh out the pack, and I'm proud to be black. So take that.
And better yet, this signal spills over into my home state of Indiana. So I guess we'll have to get Mama a new aerial for her roof in Kokomo.
Oh, that's so nice. We want you to join us for unique conversations and perspectives as we keep the focus on the least of these.
That's Smiley in the West today at 11 right here on WVON, the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
Hi, this is Melody Spann Cooper. During Black History Month, we are proud to bring you the 50 most impactful moments of WVON in celebration of our 50th anniversary. You'll learn some interesting facts and tidbits about the station, from our past to our present.
Chicago's legendary WVON, the Talk of Chicago.
In February, as we pause to celebrate Black history, we're celebrating our history. the 50 most impactful moments of WVON. Brought to you by our friends at ComEd. Powering lives, powering our legacy. Watch ABC 7 on Saturday, February 16th at 6 p.m. for their Black History Month special, Heart and Soul, where they pay tribute to WVON's 50th anniversary. We're your celebration station.
Hi, this is Teresa Deer, host of Let's Get to Work, heard Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 9:30. America is on the road to recovery, bringing new jobs and new opportunities. Join us as we explore ways to help you get the job you want, keep the job you have, and secure the job that's waiting for you. Join us Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 9:30, as we empower, enable, and equip you with the information you need to get the job you want. Let's Get to Work, heard exclusively on the Talk of Chicago, WVON.
Hi, this is Dr. Dorothy J. Thomas, your host of Recovery Radio, Sundays from 8 until 9 o'clock. I know most of you have wondered, where have I been? Well, I am still around. Please listen to Recovery Radio on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. And remember, you can stream live with us, www.wvon.com. We continue to have guests, and we continue to talk about all the things that you are interested in as it relates to recovery. Be blessed and continue to listen.
In April, Chicago will celebrate a historic milestone in broadcast history as the nation's premier urban heritage station turns 50. And on Saturday, April 6th, at the historic Chicago Theater, people from all over the country will be here to celebrate our impact. It's WVON's 50th anniversary Grand Gala. Join Dick Gregory, media mogul Kathy Hughes, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, the Reverend Al Sharpton, Roland Martin, Governor Pat Quinn, Herb Kent, and many others. And performing live,
Tony Braxton,
six-time Grammy Award-winning songstress Toni Braxton. Toni Braxton. Toni Braxton brings her Las Vegas show to Chicago exclusively for WVON. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com and at the Chicago Theater box office. Premium tickets available exclusively at WVON. Visit WVON.com and click the 50th Gala banner for your ticket options. Ticket prices include your invitation to exclusive after parties, where there will be more surprise performances. Saturday, April 6th at the Chicago Theater. Get your tickets early for WVON's Grand Gala featuring Toni Braxton. We're turning 50. Let's celebrate your history-making station. 1690 WVON.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON. Sherwin, Chicago.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Dorothy Tillman on Chicago's legendary WVON, The Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
Let us march on, steal victory.
We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
It's 7 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock. It is that time, y'all. It is that time. Wherever you are in the country, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, Washington, wherever you are in this country, in this city, whether you're sitting or you're listening, it is that time of day, and this is what we do at our 7 o'clock hour. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, Michael and Bimma G. You got to take that deep breath because we finna do something. Black. One more time, y'all. Black. Look. Black. Why do we do the black moment? Because folks are scared to say black, and we do it every 7 o'clock. Don't you feel bad? Good, like a recovery. You can say black and don't be scared. Listen to Talk Chicago 169 WVON. This is Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We also on iHeartRadio, y'all. I tell you, people are just listening from everywhere. We are on Blog Talk. We on Blog Talk. We will, I don't know. What's going on there, Mr. Engineer? I don't know. Is that you, Dr. Anderson, that noise I hear?
Yeah, I got you.
Is that? Okay. I heard some, hit something in mind. Anyway, we're on Blog Talk. If you don't listen to us, we're on Twitter, and we're on Facebook and group Facebook. You need to tune in and tell your friends we got Dr. Anderson on the phone, and we're going to be, I don't know what's this noise. Dr. Anderson, you got some noise going on behind you?
I'm sorry, say what now?
I hear some noise in my mic, and I don't know what's coming from your place or mine.
Oh, it might be coming from mine.
Are you in the... a dock somewhere with some noise go beep, beep, like some trucks back?
No, I'm okay. I don't hear anything, so it must be coming from yours.
I don't know. I need to take them.
Do you hear it? Do you still hear it?
Yeah, I need to bring my engineer in and see what this is going on.
No, I don't hear any noise.
Engineer, what is this noise I'm hearing? Maybe engineer to come in here for a moment. We're going to see what's going on. Let me see if I – engineer? Okay, the noise is gone. What was that? It's gone? Can you hear me, Dr. Anderson?
Yeah, I can hear you. Uh-huh.
Okay.
You didn't know what the noise was?
Well, he brought it down. It's back.
No,
I never had this. It's coming back again. He said it was your phone. No, I called him on the home phone, so it can't be his phone. Come here, engineer. I don't know what he's saying. What I'm going to do is take a 30-second break and come right back, Dr. Anderson.
Well, why don't you call me back again?
I'm going to take a 30-second break, and I'm going to come right back. Play Anthony Hamilton's song, Ain't Nobody a Word, and I'll come right back. We're going to come right back to Dr. I'm going to where, Dr. Anderson? We're going to play Anthony Hamilton, Ain't Nobody a Word. You stay right there so I can straighten this out. Can you play Ain't Nobody a Word over there, Mr. Engineer? I don't know. Okay.
Down low, all they doing is tying the shoestring. Ain't nobody worrying
Lock Dr. Anderson in. Ain't nobody worried, y'all. Lock him in. Hey, Dr. Anderson, we back now. They don't want me and you to talk, Dr. Anderson. They said, we better stop this. This stuff get ready to be too heavy. And all the people listening, I know we got a bank of calls. And some folks, we got a bank and a couple hung up. They want to listen to you. But we got a bank. And I'm going to get to you and let you talk to Dr. Anderson before it's over with. So you all just hold on. I tell you our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. And we're also on iHeart, and we're on blackplanet.com and Facebook. So please listen. And we're going to get into Dr. Anderson. And if you want to, if we want to, you want to click on Dr. Anderson, powerwonomics.com. Dr. Anderson, I can pick up any little thing you're doing at home. If you hit a glass, anything you do at home, I'll pick it up.
Any
little noise you make, I'll pick it up. I just want you to know. Okay, powerwonomics.com, you can click on, and harvardinstitute.org if you want to read some of the stuff that Dr. Anderson been talking about. Dr. Anderson, I wanted to kick off my Black History Month with you. And I just want us to just take a moment and just talk about where we are, what's going on. Then I'm going to go to the phone and let you talk to some of the folks who are waiting to talk to you. Now, when we talk, and I want you to give us an update on the suit, on the Indian suit, first of all. And then I want to talk about the Second Amendment. And let's just talk about who we are. You know, we talked about the guns. They tell us turning our guns and why they're doing everything else. So I'm just going to let you flow for Black History Month. You're going to teach. This is your classroom. And then I'm going to go to here to 7 o'clock and then to 8 o'clock, and then I'm going 9 o'clock your time, and then I'm going to go to the phone and take some calls. So let's just talk, Dr. Anderson. Let's teach this morning. Black labor, white wealth, dirty little secret, Second Amendment, Indian lawsuit. Hey, y'all, Professor, the doctor, Dr. Claude Anderson. This is your classroom. Teach, Dr. Anderson.
Well, first of all, Dr., let me say good morning to you and all my friends and supporters in the Chicago area and any other friends we have across the nation. And I'm delighted you called and invited me to be on your program this morning. Earlier you indicated that you'd heard our good friend Harry Belafonte on the radio last night, on the TV, whatever it was. And anything he said, you should take to heart, because he's a very conscious and committed black person. But one of the things that would stand out in my mind is what the nature of our problems are today. We've got two major problems for black folk, and that has locked us into a permanent underclass. And that comes from integration and globalization. So contrary to what anybody tells you, I don't care whether it comes out of a white mouth or a black mouth, Dorothy, anybody tells you that black folk are progressing, they're lying to you. In proportional comparative terms, we're exactly where we were in 1860 on the eve of the Civil War. We are not progressing. We're going backwards. And black folk must get about the business of trying to figure out how to change some of these things as quickly as they possibly can. And as an underclass, that means an underclass of those individuals, Dorothy, who by the nature of their social economic circumstances are destined to live in the future as either beggars or criminals. We're locked in. We got a small chance of getting out, and we've got to use that chance, exercise that chance. We've got to move very quickly. Now, we can talk about anything you want to talk about this morning. I'll run through some of those things for you.
You can run through them like that as we go. One of the reasons everybody else who get elected to represent people, they represent their people. And when I get so sick of black folks mentioning everybody but us and putting us in the middle or in between, nobody else mentions us when they talk about us. Even politically, they have moved way in front of us, building governments and businesses. So, I mean, I want you to just do what you want to do, because you got to teach. We got to wake these black people up and so they can know what to do.
That's because they don't understand the nature of our problem. And see, those people are running away from us, and all those people that don't want to be called black, they're ascribing to the national public policy. That national public policy is not new. Black folk might be unconscious and ignorant of it, but it's not new. That policy first went into effect in 1867, about 2 years after black folk came out of supposed institutional racism and slavery. That public policy was put in effect when blacks began to indicate, based on the 15th Amendment, that they were interested in running for public offices. That means anything from the local sheriff to the post office, postmaster, or a few for the House of Representatives. And that public policy said very specifically three things. One, that if you, in fact, you black folk are just newly released from slavery, if you want to get into a public arena, there are three things that you cannot do and would be totally unacceptable. One, you cannot run for a public office on a group-based issue. Talking about groups, because we're going to turn you loose, and you must now prove to us beyond any other elements that you're strictly a successful or committed individual. They knew that if you work strictly as an individual, you'll never be successful. You cannot beat them functioning as an individual. You cannot operate as a group.
Right.
So you cannot come to the table with a group issue. Two, that you cannot come to the table and talk about blackness in any form. That was totally a taboo. You could not talk about black issues. That was told to them in 1867. And three, you could not come to the table and try to hold white folks accountable for what they've done to black folk over 367 years.
That's not 2013 to me.
And that was a public policy put in effect. Now, that public policy was updated in 1971 by Richard Nixon when he received a memo from Senator Monaghan, which says that the best way to tone black folks down in this country, whether you're talking about the civil rights movement or the black power movement, what you must do is to go back to that old public policy in the 1860s. You must take the focus off of black folk and shift it to minority women and children, and treat black folk on a public policy of benign neglect.
Yeah.
Benign neglect, Dorothy, means pretend. Pretend that black people do not exist, and in public programs or public policies, do not observe or do not attend to or do not address anything that focuses on the needs and the interests of black folk. Make sure that they appear invisible. And now that public policy of benign neglect has morphed and grown up and now is changed into what we call hateful indifference to black folk. Mm-hmm. That's why nobody in this country is going to address any issues pertaining to black folk, not whites, not blacks, not Asians, not American Indians, and not any black leadership, no civil rights organizations, or public officials, or black elected officials, not one. You have absolutely no black leadership in America of any nation.
That's
you cannot trust.
Our national, we're talking about across the board.
Doesn't make any difference. You're not going to have one single black person that's going to stand up in any venue, whether it's radio, TV, or in the print, and say, here's what the needs of black folk are, and let's address those issues. What they did, they go back to that benign neglect policy, which says pretend that they don't exist, and the policy also stipulated is that give the pretense. Listen to Dorothy. Mm-hmm. Give the pretense that somehow if you address the issues of everybody and other groups, so the minority women and children, that somehow black people will be miraculously and magically included on a trickle-down basis, a trickle-down theory basis. So you use words like minorities, poor folk, people of color, multicultural, diversity, all this stuff, which gives the pretense that somehow black folk are included. But what it also does, it gives all these other groups now all these self-perceived and aggrieved minorities, which never were minorities, it gives them the right then to take all the suffering of black folk that black folk suffered since 1510 in this country, take all their suffering, the castration, the lynching, the exploitation, the benign neglect, the enslavement, and pretend that they are the people who've suffered, not black folk. Mm-hmm. That's the policy you're under. And every civil rights organization, every black leader in this country is going to talk about minorities and people of color. Not one is will ever put black folk solely and singly out there. Other groups will. Other groups will talk about their own people and their own needs. They can do it blatantly now because they understand the national public policy. Mm-hmm. And people like Hispanics. Hispanics will call themselves a minority, even though 95% of them have been in this country less than 25 or 30 years now, 95%.
And Dr. Anderson, they also, on the census form, said that they're white. They check out the white box too.
Oh yeah, because Hispanics are basically white speaking Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Arabs are basically white people practicing Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Asians they ascribe their own culture. They on probation to be white. The only people in this country that's not classified as whites are black folks. The issue never was minority. Issue was always a black and white issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the public policy of 1971 allowed everybody to hide and disguise themselves, pretend that somehow they've been affected and aggrieved. That's why now gender has replaced black folk. Handicapped people have replaced black folk. Transsexuals in the country has replaced black folk. And black folk are so darn silly, they'll sit there and be totally displaced and say they're happy because they got somebody black in a public office. They ain't going to do a damn thing for them. A civil rights organization, they're going to talk about multicultural and diversity and people of color. I have never in my life felt so downhearted to see black folk get in this condition and is totally abysmally ignorant of what's happening to them and who's putting the pain on them.
And they blame themselves. That's why I was saying, even with the shooting, they're talking about turning your guns. The prison complex of all our people in jail, the fact that our community is just being totally just wiped out. We're the only one. When they got rid of all those folks in public housing, I said there's no other group would have gotten rid of that many folks collectively and say, get rid of them, get rid of them. There's something wrong, Dr. Anderson.
Well, the biggest thing that you did wrong, you had no business. You had absolutely no business integrating. That's your problem. That's the first problem.
Mm-hmm.
You had no business integrating. The problem in this country, and no disrespect to our great leader, Dr. Martin Luther King, he did the best he could under circumstances, but that's why he told Harry Belafonte that he thought, he said, no, I think we, as black folk, we've integrated into a burning house.
So we're integration, totally fighting for equality and desegregation and not
that's
integration.
Right.
We had a new group. The Jewish group came down to Alabama, and they switched that language to integration.
Right,
but you know that.
Right.
So we were talking, we want to fight for equality. We were fighting our butts off for equality, and that language just got
right.
tricked on us and switched. I just want that for the record.
But yeah, but keep in mind that the issue, Dorothy, should have never been, and I raised this cane way back in the 60s. The issue never had should have been, do black folk want integration or do you black folk want segregation? That's never the issue. That is a stupid question to ask black folk, because I had a white person ask me that down in the Hilton Hotel in Tallahassee once. I came off the stage giving a speech, and when this one white guy said, Dr. Anderson, you're confusing us. On one hand, you got Martin Luther King's. He wants integration, and you got Malcolm X wants segregation. Which end of the stick do you all want? I said, as a black person, I don't want either end of the stick. I don't want integration or segregation. I want aggregation, as I said in all my books. I want aggregation.
Explain to people what aggregation is, because they don't know about power numbers. They need to get your book, Power Numbers, to understand it, but explain it to
right.
them.
Right. Well, aggregation means black folks should have the same rights and privileges as all other people to come together at any place on that stick, to come together as a group and pool their resources, their power, their money, their votes, pool their votes in their own self-interest. And that's in the betterment of black folk. It's not about integration or segregation. See, they don't ever ask. You never once heard any politician or civil rights group ask Hispanics, do you hear Hispanics coming into America? Do you, even though you're coming here illegally, do you want to be integrated or segregated? We don't ask Asians that. We don't ask Arabs that. We don't ask anybody that. Do you even ask transsexuals that? The only people they ask, do you want integration or segregation, or do you want to go back to segregation? You want to go to is black folk, and black folk are silly enough to go along with that silly question
But now, see, that goes to the reason I'm asking these other folks and black folks so easily. When you talk about the post-traumatic slavery syndrome, you talk about slavery, and it goes to your book, Dirty Little Secret, that we are that, and they're able to manipulate the movement. That's why your books and stuff are so educational.
Well, let me give you some answers. Yeah, and see, before we get into further discussion, any of them that are real serious at this point in time, because I'm getting out of the business just trying to entertain black folk. If they're not serious about anything, I'm going to retire and spend my time enjoying my grandkids. I wrote books that covered all these issues, taking it from A to Z, explaining how we got into this condition. And it identified in black labor, white wealth. It laid out in graphic terms and timelines every technique, every strategy, every public law, every custom, every attitude that the dominant white society used to maldistribute almost 100% of all this nation's power, wealth, and resources into the hands of the dominant white society, so that black folk right now do not own and control a sufficient amount of anything to be a competitive people. You cannot compete in this country. It is impossible in theory and practice today. I don't care whether you live in Chicago or Baltimore, Mississippi. If you cannot compete, you're never going to make it. It's not about integration and segregation. It's that you lack any control of anything of material value. You don't have any wealth and power. In this country, we have one half or 1% of the nation's wealth or anything of value in this country. Blacks own one half of 1%. You cannot compete that way. We don't own and produce anything. We're zero producers and 100% consumers. They got you locked in box. And I've told blacks and black labor, white wealth, these are your major problems. And now most of the other books you see all over the country written by black folk, all they are doing is focusing on the darn symptoms. They're not talking about how you eradicate the problem.
Yeah, you're right. Now, Dr. Anderson, when you wrote this book about 20-some years ago, when I first met you, you just wrote this book. How old is this book?
It's about 20 years old now, and it's still one of the best-selling books in this country and around the world.
And I recommend Black Labor, White Wealth, Dirty Little Secret, and Powernomics. Dr. Anderson, you said we need to pool our resources, but you're unlike other people. You're not saying that we're not supposed to make our tax dollars work for us that we give to this country. We're supposed to be able to pool our resources and also utilize the resources from the taxes. Because I heard some blacks told me, we don't need the government money. We just need to put our own money. I said, no, those are your taxes. You have a right to that, too. Everybody else is coming in here dealing with that. We have to put together a kind of a
marshal plan. Well, whoever told you that is stuck on stupid with Gorilla Glue. That's the first thing that tells you they don't need any government assistance or any other resources. That is the basis of the American dream. I hear black folk talking about the American dream and all these other groups. I'm coming to America with the American dream. And I can't find one darn black to rub with the head with another black to understand what the American dream was about. The American dream was nothing but saying to all those Europeans coming to this country and now for the other groups coming from the Far East, it says that if you go to America, that we guarantee you that we can give you free land and free labor, and that it would be impossible unless you're stupid that you can't become wealthy and rich. That was the basis of the American dream, coming to America to get free land and free labor and being able to prosper. Everybody came to this country who every man was eligible for 160 acres of land for homesteading, except black people. That was the American dream. Now, you still got people coming to America, but instead of getting free land and free labor now, they get free access to affirmative action programs by classifying themselves as a minority. That they're still getting access. That's why you go look at any minority program in this country, any minority program, black folk might be. You might have a few blacks in it. Most of it is going to other groups. For instance, I did one study of affirmative action programs in Texas, and out of all the resources that went out through contracts with the government and the agencies, guess what? White women got 79%, almost 78% of it, and Hispanics got something like 23% of it, and blacks got 0.9%. You're not getting anything. You come to Washington, D.C., all the programs are geared to take care of either American Indians, to Asians, Hispanics, women, gays, everything but black folks. Black folks are silly enough to sit back and let it go down.
Which goes back into what's happening with the lawsuit that we went to Washington. I told you, I call you the other day, so let's go back. What's happening with this Indian lawsuit?
Well, let me articulate first. Then we'll talk about each one of them. See, I can only see, before I get into that, about three things that black folk are going to have that got a shot at to be able to get out of the ditch we're in as an underclass. And that little small opening is going to close up. Somebody's going to plug that little hole pretty soon. And the underclass means you're locked on the bottom. You're never going to get out. That's in Chicago, too. The blacks in Chicago can hang it up if they don't exercise one of these things, all these things at one time, and do it not tomorrow, but starting today.
Uh-huh.
One, you must quit, cease and desist, and going around bragging about altruism, about how caring you are about everybody. You must develop a group self-interest. A group self-interest, which means put your interest first and foremost on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I tell people as a pilot, I don't fly anymore, but as a pilot, the first thing you teach the passengers is that if we get to 35,000 feet in the air, we lose cabin pressure. At first, and a mask will fall down over your seat. When that mask falls down, put the mask on yourself first.
That's what it
says. But black people, still people jump up on that plane when we lose cabin pressure and the plane is descending in a fall and say, anybody back there in the back want any a mask? Any minorities, the poor folk, or people of color back there? Any crippled, deaf, dumb? Any lesbians? Any humpbacks? Any midgets? Anybody?
Uh-huh. Like Malcolm said, Master, we's a sick. Master, we's a sick. I'm going to throw up.
They're afraid to have a group self-interest. And to get that group self-interest, the first thing you must do is go and rebuild a black community. The only time that black folk really significantly progressed as a group in this country was during Jim Crow segregation. You know why? Because white folks forced us to do what every other group does naturally and instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
That's work together, build your own communities, put up your own businesses, and buy from your own people and spend your money and make it bounce as much as you can in the hands of your own people.
I know that I studied with you, and I told you I was going to take the Third Ward and turn it into that. We did a 70-30 plan. We began to build and to take that land. We put the land on hold and said it was going to be for black folks. Then we have these outside people that comes in and they say, we're going to stop this. Blacks are the only one that have this type of fight where they try to stop. They take everything we have and then they use black folks to come after us. You know that we had the whole Power Numbing plan in place and through. You know we did. And you know we were working on it.
Right. Well, I understand why whites do that and understand and let all your listeners understand that what I'm talking about is not hating anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste your time hating anybody. Don't be hating whites, Asian, Arab, anybody. Don't hate anybody. It ain't about hate. It's about being able to successfully compete and prosper. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want you to hate anybody. You can love anybody you want to. I don't care who you sleep with and who you have babies with.
You can't love nobody if you don't love yourself. Uh-huh.
You must love yourself first before you try to love everybody else. And see, and black folks still haven't gotten that in their head. They still want to love everybody rather than themselves.
Well,
and
I think that we have to go back and we got to understand what the movement was about while these folks was taking advantage, because you worked on the affirmative action program. Am I correct? And you put that program in place for black folks, what had been done to us in slavery and stuff, and all. That's why you were Black Ladies, White Westerns, some other things. You was kind of, would you tell us about that affirmative action program?
Yeah, I wrote the first major affirmative action plan that was a comprehensive plan in the United States in 1970. It was enacted by the state of Florida in 1971. But the original concept of affirmative action goes back to the Lyndon Johnson administration when he first mentioned the word. Mm-hmm. And affirmative action means corrective action. It means correcting something that the government has done. It has nothing in the world to do with personal, about because you didn't like your neighbor, your late neighbor shot your dog or something like that, and he's bigoted and biased because he shot your dog. That's not what affirmative action was designed for. Affirmative action was designed to pick a group of people, a specific group of people that have been denied, subordinated, exploited, misused, enslaved, and Jim Crow segregated systematically, historically, and continuously by the government. And that was only peculiar to black folk. The affirmative action program was designed to correct those imposed negative social conditions on black folk. But in the 1970s, when the benign neglect policy was put in place by the Richard Nixon administration, they switched it then and said now anybody can qualify for affirmative action programs. So now women went in it. So the first thing they did, they stuck in Title IX. They say that rather, so the white man says the black woman is not going to get anything before the white woman does, and so therefore we're going to stick women in there as a minority. Women are not. I don't care what they collectively as a gender. Women are not minorities. Women are a majority. But they're stuck into a pot with black folk who were a minority, so they can dominate and control. Why? Because the white man knew that his wife, his daughter, his sister, or his mother could then replace him and keep the wealth he's got, or get the rest that he needed. And because you see, in this country, 87% of all the wealth in this country is locked and frozen. It's 87% of all the wealth in this country is locked and frozen into the dominant white society in terms of stocks, bonds, real estate, value, corporations. It's locked. It's frozen. Only 13% is up for grabs. And affirmative action was saying, out of that 13%, let's put out a program so at least black folk will have a chance to get something that everybody else has been able to get freely under the American dream.
Like land, the airways, and everything. I need to just try to go to the phones. I'm asking everybody 30 seconds because I don't have much time. I'm trying to empty this board, ask your questions, and move on. And Dr. Anderson, and let me take three calls at one time. Then you answer. And what I want to make sure we mention about this indigent lawsuit, too.
Yeah, but try to remind me what those three questions are. I'm getting up in age and I can't always remember three questions.
Joanne, you better come get next to him. Okay. Mansung, what's your question? Hotel, Mansung? Okay, I guess he hung up. Okay. Brother Gregory, what's your question?
Yeah, this is Brother Mansung. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's your question?
Well, I didn't really have a question for Dr. Anderson, and I wanted to greet you, Dr. Anderson.
Hi. How you doing this morning, bro?
Hey, man, we just love your energy and all the work you've been doing, clarifying issues. You know, you can't solve a problem if you don't really understand it, so you really help us understand it and offer those solutions. I just wanted to let...
Thank you, man. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Now. Okay.
Hello?
Ray from the West Side. I want everybody to ask this question because I want Ray from the West Side. Okay, hung up. Okay, did I miss? What's going on here? Hello? Something happened with this phone. Sam.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much.
Y'all. Some of y'all got, y'all called back. I don't know what happened just then. I tell y'all, something happened. Okay, Sam.
I had trouble, but this is one.
Who is this? Not even Sam?
Yes, ma'am. You know,
okay.
Sam, you know my voice.
Okay.
In the president's speech the other night, he addressed everybody who had come through Ellis Island, the Russians, the French, the Jews, every damn body. And talked also about Angel Island on the West Coast, which I guess was the entry point for the Hispanics. But he didn't say a word about the black folk. Not a word.
Thank you.
And that bothered me, really, really bothered me.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, hold it. We'll come back to it. Let me see. Mama D, you got to just ask a question. You can't make a statement. What's your question? Mama D?
Good morning.
What's your question?
My question is this. The president's mother was a white immigrant. His father was a black immigrant. But since we were in this country before July 4th, 1776, what can we claim as indigenous people of this land and get an executive order for reparations like the Dreamers did?
Okay, thank you. Let's answer these two questions real quick because I'm trying to empty the board. One was about Angel Island and all the other islands. Everything was listed by black folks. And the other was about since we came here. You heard the last question, right, by Mama?
Uh-huh, yeah, I did.
Okay, answer those two, Dr.
Okay, Lee. Well, again, see, black folk are the oldest people in this country, period. Black folk in this country way before the so-called white American Indians even came here. The people call themselves now Indians in this country came into this country when their ancestors crossed the Bering Straits back in 5 and 6,000 A.D. But black folk are already in this country going back to 16,000 A.D. They'd been here. BC. They'd been here in this country for all that time, and when the Asians came in, they came down from the Bering Straits, came down into the Southwest, and they met all these blacks who'd come here about 10,000 years before they did. They interbred with them, and those black people were called Folsom people. That's why you have a Folsom, Arizona, and a Folsom prison, and you got a Folsom, Nevada. The Folsom people were the oldest indigenous population in this country, and they were blacks. It was people who came in from Africa and landed around the Gulf Coast area of Texas and Mexico. And so so if you're going to talk about the oldest people, it's the black people. They are the original people. And black folks should be calling themselves the original people. When American Indians call themselves the natives, you should know you're not the natives. We are the original people in this country. You're the original people on this earth. The first people on earth were black folk. So don't let people put you down about somebody being before
now,
you
or
being native.
What about the ones coming? Because I got 15 minutes. I'm trying to get through as many calls as I can. What about the question about Angel Islands and all that? They said they didn't
about what now?
But I guess that answered both questions. That answered the first and the second question. You don't have to answer that. Let's go to, I think it's West from Georgia.
I think she asked about reparations. What form of reparations?
Oh, yes, she did. Hold on,
yes,
West from Georgia,
yes,
while you answer that.
Well, the best form of reparations is not to go strictly after them for reparations. Because right now, if you go strictly on straight on reparations, which is a good idea, I wouldn't stop you from doing it. But the problem is that you're appealing to something that the dominant society does not have. You're appealing to their level of consciousness and morality. If they had that much consciousness and morality, they wouldn't enslave your rein in the first place. The best way to get what you're entitled to is to go back to the 1866 Indian Treaty, which Dorothy wants to talk about today. The 1866 Indian Treaty spelled out for black freedmen and black Indians what their entitlements were. And in those treaties that were set up with the five so-called civilized tribes, what most people don't understand is that Indians in this country, they participated in slavery, and slavery could not have existed except with the full participation of all the Indians in this country. And that's why every treaty in this country had an inclusion in it saying that they would support slavery. That's why they were called civilized. For the whites told them, quit trying to run through the bushes, go get yourself some land and get a farm and get some black slaves to work it. And so, and if you do that, we'll call you civilized. And we'll pay you $20 for every black who run away from the plantation to bring him back. And all these so-called civilized tribes, that was Choctaw, Cherokee, the Seminole, all these tribes, they all fought with, and the Creeks, they all fought with the South to maintain slavery. They signed agreements with the Southern Confederacy to maintain slavery. That's why in 1866, 2 years after the end of the war, that the Chickasaw and Choctaw Indians were still holding 10,000 to 15,000 blacks as slaves. And so the United States government sent military contingencies into all these so-called Indian territories and met with those various tribes and said, you must turn loose all your slaves. Because the Emancipation Proclamation is freedom, the 13th Amendment is freedom, and the Civil War is freedom. And when you turn them loose, here's what you must do. And they put this into all those treaties. And the 1866 treaties all have this inclusion. These things the black folk must get, and all their descendants must get. And even though you might not be one of those black descendants of one of those black freedmen and one of those black Indians, that once you get that for them, there'll be enough resources to kick the door open so all the other blacks can also benefit from it.
Now, Dr. Ann, I'm going to bring you back on before the month is out. We're going to strictly stay on this treaty because they need to know. And we have something in Washington that we've been trying to get the government to sign to make sure that the black Indians get there. None of these black elected officials will sign on to it, with the exception of Maxine Waters, right?
That's right. And do you want me to tell them some of the benefits they should have gotten? Is
yeah, but
treaty?
What I'm going to do, okay, do I want to try, okay, I think I got about.
What do you want me to do?
I got 8 more minutes. Tell them the benefits in about 2 minutes, and I'm going to have you back. I might have you back to just talk about all of that. Okay, tell them.
Okay, first thing that those treaties stipulate, they must turn loose all black freedmen, release them from, all black slaves must be freed. Two, they must give all black freedmen and black Indians, who are mixtures, they must give them a right to vote on any issue affecting Indians in this country forever. Three, that they must have a right to vote on any issue. Four, that they must be given 150 acres of land. Five, they must be given $160 each. Six, they must have access to any resources that are declared as being Indian-owned and Indian-controlled. That means land, timber, gold, silver on any land, like the reservations, that they must have access to it. Seven, they must be able to make contracts with the government just like Indians can. That means they can go in and apply for on a non-competitive basis and get TV stations, radio licenses, and electric systems. Seven, that they should be tax exempt. They should not be paying taxes. Eight, that they should also be able to go to any university or school in this country without paying tuition. And in present day terms, they should be able to go build gambling casinos and federalize any land and build their own gambling casinos for black folks.
Okay, Dr. Ann, that's what I was trying to get to earlier, but I'm running out of time. I'm gonna have you back to talk about it. Now we do have this bill in Washington. We're trying to get them. We're in court. We're doing the courts and everything. We're trying to get some support. I'm gonna probably have you back to talk about that. I want you to really, can you do it in a minute, what we got up there, we trying to get past, just one little line we was trying to get through?
Well, you know, it's very hard for me to say anything in a minute. But right now, no, we're still in the various courts. We're in the federal appeals court. We're in the small claims court. We tried to go to the Supreme Court. They rejected us a couple of times because a lot of our black leadership would not support us and help us. When we're up on the hill, every black congressman, except one or two,
remember?
Yeah, that's right. They would see us coming. They'd run to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You cannot. They say they represent that the Congressional Black Caucus doesn't represent just only black folk. They represent everybody too. They are under the public policy of benign neglect. That they're supposed to represent everybody.
But
you never hear white politicians saying they come up there
but
represent everybody.
But Maxine gave us an audience, and they came down on it. But we're going to come back and talk about that. I'm going to get you back before this month is over because we need people to understand this is part. We have that data. We can solve that now with one little line, and that begins the start of our reparation. West from Georgia.
Okay. Yes, sir. Hey, Doc.
30
man.
Seconds.
Yes, sir, Doc, man, about the waterland fisheries, man. With you. I'm telling you, everybody I know that's got deep pockets, man, we got to put one in every city, man.
And you also got to support the Harvard Institute, too.
I need your help right now. I need some blacks with some very deep pockets. I'm talking about people got a couple of black millionaires. Because right now, if I don't get a couple of blacks to come to me, got some of you very rich blacks and help put up some money, help me to expand and save what we got, that you'll lose your only black seafood production facility in the world. And
now,
what do they
need to do, Dr. Anderson?
They need to contact me. Let me give you the number. If they want to buy the books or they want to contact me, go call the Power Numbers Corporation in Washington, D.C. That's 301-564-6075. Again, 301-564-6075. And that waterland fishery is a foundation for black folks to do a vertically biz industry. So for once in history, we should dominate in this industry. Because why? Because black folks should dominate in business wherever they dominate in population and consumer spending patterns. Black folk eat 3 to 4 times more fish than whites, and you spend $9 for every $1 white spend for seafood. Black folks should own and develop this industry. If I don't get some help from some of these blacks that got all this
dirt money.
So
they can go to powernumbers.com, and they can call
301-564-6075.
Okay, thank you, y'all. We need to make sure you go on to powernumbers.com and harvardinstitute.org. I think I got about 7 more minutes before I have to get off this air. I'm going to try to make sure. I'll leave Hyde Park real quick. Got a question,
yes.
Ali?
Yes, sir. Actually, I just wanted to tell Dr. Anderson that I try to specificate and articulate to these young black men and women that everything that you see of you, all this high crime, is a symptom. Dr. Claude Anderson gives in a concise analysis what the problem is. It's no economics.
Okay.
I tell the brothers to go to YouTube and Dr. Claude Anderson. But I was wondering, is it because I have a small business?
What's your question?
Got to
hurry up now.
I just want to know, can I make any small Power Anderson, Power small youth groups to show them how we can
just go to call. I'm gonna give you the numbers and the website. You can go there.
Yes. Wait, do whatever you can do and help these black folk as quickly as you can. Because otherwise,
call you.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Call you. I'm gonna get call you and Ray real quick. 30 seconds. Call you. I'm running out of time. And you're telling me I gotta go. Call you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. How you doing? I just wanted to ask a question. If you can touch on it a little bit, I know you're running out of time. Was the when they started welfare, and I forget what president that passed that through. a woman can get it, but they couldn't get it if a man was living in a home.
That was
or,
back
you
in
know,
the 60s. I remember, 50s.
So the agenda was to break up the black family
right, okay.
by eliminating the black man.
I'm going to have Dr. Anderson back on. You get a chance to talk a little bit more. I'm going to get him on for the whole 2 hours. Ray from the South Side.
Yeah, how do you, Dr. Anderson, how do we stop these black animal thugs that Dorothy Tillman keep?
Okay.
I couldn't hear him.
No, I know it because I cut him off. Sorry about that, because I don't have time for that. Jacqueline?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. How are you doing, Dr. Anderson? My question is this. What happened in Detroit that you didn't, that project didn't go through? That's the only question I want to know.
Wait a second. Okay.
Michelle,
Michelle.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Dr. Anderson, they're still running to the bathroom. What can we do about those people who have diarrhea?
Thank you. Thank you.
Accountable.
Okay, thank you. Abraham.
Can you hear me?
Okay, is that one gone? Abraham? Hello?
Hello, I can't hear you, Dorothy.
He's gone. Okay, he's gone. Hello, Abraham? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you got 10 seconds.
Oh, yes, hello, Dr. Anderson.
Hi there.
Hi. Where can I get your books from, and when will you be back here in Chicago?
You have to see Dorothy Tillman about that. She's been saying she's going to bring me back for 15 years now.
I'll bring it back. You can go to powernomics.com, harvardinstitute.org, call 301-564-6075 and order the whole package of books and get them, and you can read them and see what he's talking about, okay?
I'll do just that.
Get the books and start reading the books again. Power Numbers to tell you all the things you
already
doing.
Do you have any
doing.
Kind of special going on with the books, Dr. Anderson?
I'm sorry, what's that
any
now?
Any special going on with the bundle?
Yeah, we got a special with the books right now. They can get all four of the best-selling books in this country around the world. They can get all four of them on the Power Pack at the Power Numbers Corporation for $70. They can get the most powerful DVDs for $88. Five of those, each one is 2 hours long. The DVDs are different from the books, though.
Okay.
And they can get those. You can either go to the website, powernomics.com, and order them off the website, or you can call the corporation in Washington, D.C. That's 301-564-6075 and get them. And you can go to the black bookstores and get them, too.
Okay.
You got Lashina up there in Chicago. He has all those books.
Okay, I think I'm almost out of time. Look, in terms of the lady who asked you about Detroit, these folks
about Detroit. Well, Detroit, because white folks said that it was racist in the newspapers and all them went against it and said it was racist for me to try to build a black
business
community in Detroit, Michigan. And Dorothy was there. She attended the meeting. I had over 1,000 blacks come across the country and said they would relocate their businesses into the city of Detroit and build a major black business district in the United States.
And they shut it down. And those blacks, except Joanne Watson now. Joanne Watson hung in there with you.
Yeah, but the black leadership says when the white says it's racist, white says it's yes. We got in Detroit, Michigan, we got an Asian community, we got a Chinatown, we got a Mexican town, we got a pole town, we got a hockey town, we got a court town, we got a Greek town. But it'd be racist to have a black business district. And the black leadership in Detroit says, yeah, you sure is right. It would be
and now what they're doing is they're going on and taking the town away from everybody. That's why I enjoyed you so much. Didn't have enough time, but I gave you more time than most folks. Got to have you back. You want to give me a minute closing remark? Because it's time. You need to tell me I got to get out of here.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing black folks need to do right now is talking about holding people accountable. The way you hold people accountable is start, don't support anybody, any candidate for a public office, regardless of his color, if he would not support you. Never, never support anybody who won't support the black community.
Thank you.
And that means you must start learning how to get out of both the national parties, create your own black party, and vote as a bloc. Black folks could be the most powerful people in this country. Here, 20 years ago, they said, we don't belong to any party. We belong to a black party. We're not going to run any candidates for an office. But anybody who wants our 40 million votes, come to us and promise to put something on the table, and we'll vote for you. I don't care what your color is. But black folk never did it. They see it right now. They think that partisanship is the issue. Being belonging to a political party means nothing. You got to be able to hold people accountable.
Thank you. I'm going to have you back. You've been listening to Talk of Chicago 69 Division. We've been having a good time. We had Dr. Anderson here. We're going to have him back. He's before Black History is over with. And if you want to get the powernomics.com to get his book, you can also call 301-564-6075. Thank you, Dr. Anderson.
Right. And- And I'm gonna look forward for that. For that, they want me to come in and give a speech. You better set up something
okay,
up there, Dorothy.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Reparations now. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Anderson. And we will repair the damage. We will do. I'm trying to get with my engineer over here, and I'm keeping you because he ain't got my son coming in now. I don't have that. Okay, Dr. Anderson, I want to thank you so much, and I'll be calling you. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you now.
Thank you. Love you.
I love you, Dr. Anderson. All right.
Unlock.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Hang up, Dr. Anderson. Thank you. PowerNummies.com,
HarvardInstitute.org,
301-5.
I'm a strong believer in the work ethic. I like to tell them what a teacher told me, that there are no shortcuts to glory. And when I use glory, I don't mean the frills and the ruffles. There's no shortcut to success, whatever that success may be. I'd like to reiterate what I was taught in early on. And I got that not just from my mother, but my grandmother, who used to say, remember your place now. And that disturbed me. And I knew what she was saying and why she was saying it. She was saying it to protect me also. And that's why I said, particularly the young black children, your place is anywhere you want it to be. It's left up to you. You make that decision. To young politicians, I want to make a plea for elective office. Seek power. There's nothing wrong with power if it's used wisely and used rightly. Power is essential. Power is what gets things going, and it can be used for good as well as for evil. Some people think of power as the powerful person as being evil. I think the powerful person as being good.